Humanitarian aid can be delivered into the territory. Israeli bombardments since October 7th have left nearly 20,000 Palestinians dead and nearly 2 million without homes, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signing a new law that would give local police the power to arrest immigrants in the country illegally and give local judges the power to deport them.
The new law is expected to go right to the courts. At issue is, can states create their own immigration laws? Immigration is handled by the federal government. Opponents of the new Texas law say it is unconstitutional because it's preempted by federal law and that states can't just make their own laws competing with federal law.
ABC's Alex Stone. Two former Georgia election workers who won that $148 million defamation judgment against Rudy Giuliani have now asked for a court order barring him from continuing to repeat the lies he spread. This is ABC News. An icon in American industry, U.S. Steel, now being sold to a Japanese company in a $15 billion deal.
While the company will stay headquartered in Pittsburgh, it would mark the end of an era for the 122-year-old American institution started by J.P. Morgan and Andrew Carnegie that forged the nation's industrialization in the early 1900s. Union leaders are blasting the takeover deal, claiming it violates their agreement with the company. Critics are also raising national security concerns. U.S. Steel CEO addressing those concerns, saying this is going to increase competition here in the United States with a great ally to the United States. We do not see that as a high-level risk factor. We'd say low level of risk.
That's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. And if you have an Apple Watch on your gift list, you better buy it soon. The company now says it may be forced to pull several versions of the Apple Watch from the shelves by the end of the week. The problem, a patent fight over technology used to sense blood oxygen. The Series 9 and Ultra 2 could be yanked as soon as this week. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
In Wisconsin 3 years ago, Andrew Hitt tells WISN-TV's Upfront the Trump campaign lied and said the documents were a backup plan in case the courts declared Trump the winner.
We were tricked. We weren't made aware of any ulterior motive or scheme, and we wouldn't have gone along with it had we been told about it.
Hitt is now cooperating with federal investigators. COVID-19 cases are trending up in Wisconsin. 403 people were in the hospital at last word, and 46 of them were in the ICU. State health officials say only 12% of eligible adults in Wisconsin have had the latest COVID vaccine. RSV and flu cases are up, too. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks take on the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have two more home games coming up. They host the San Antonio Spurs tonight and then the Orlando Magic on Thursday. Milwaukee with a four-game winning streak. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing another player to the transfer portal. Defensive lineman Rodus Johnson leaving Wisconsin after 4 years. Johnson says he received his diploma over the weekend, and after playing for two different coaches, it's time for a change. NFL, Matt LaFleur says he's not going to fire Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry. LaFleur says the players and coaches did a poor job of communicating during the game on formations and assignments in their loss to the Buccaneers at Lambeau Field on Sunday.
When you're having basic communication problems, you're supposed to be in a certain coverage or a certain rotation, and we're not getting that communication. That's what what's so disappointing to me is the fact that it was poor communication. And it always starts with us.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down here this afternoon. Our high today, 32. The wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25 through about midday, and then backing off to 5 to 15 here later today. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 20. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Greg Bach, producer of Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Pat's on vacation right now, and he'll be returning on January the 2nd, but for now we want you to enjoy some pre-recorded content we did. In this first hour, Pat sits down with Citizen Action's own Robert Craig. He also speaks with Hans Breitenmoser and Steve Kahn. And then finally, Civic Media's very own Chad Holmes. Please enjoy, and we will see you back on January the 2nd.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday, November 21st. Nice to have you along. Up here in Chippewa Falls, Greg Bach standing by in Waukesha, and we have two great guests standing by as well. We are going to be talking in a bit with Robert Craig of Citizen Action about how things could be better in the Badger State if Badger Care could live up to its full potential and add a public option as well to give families more choices when it comes to affordable health insurance coverage. Then later in this hour, we'll talk to Professor Stephen Kahn. He's a professor of history at Miami University of Ohio, and he has written about the so-called rural-urban divide, and he puts an emphasis on the so-called, that some of these divisions are being played up, perhaps for less than honorable purposes by some, and that the challenges that face rural America are many of the same challenges that face urban and suburban America as well, and that we need to think differently about the challenges that are before us and how we can not let some false construct to get in the way of finding solutions to the problems that face our country. If you'd like to join us by phone, 844-967-2789. By email, it's radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on the Facebook pages of Up North News or Civic Media, you can post a question there in the comment section, and we'll see it. Maybe put that up on screen and address it as well. But first, I'm very happy to be joined by Robert Craig from Citizen Action to talk a bit about healthcare, especially as we get to this end of the year period where people are making decisions about their care in 2024. And then they have to make their decision about who to vote for in 2024. And Robert Craig is very active on all those fronts. Robert, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Always great to be with you, Pat, and thanks for all the great work you do here at Up North News.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, as I mentioned, the end of the year, and there's open enrollment periods going on right now for, you know, the Affordable Care Act marketplace, for Medicare recipients. In fact, there is a new op-ed over at upnorthnewswi.com talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, how it ended 30 years of taxpayers not being able to use their buying power to get lower prices from big drug companies, but that's finally changing, at least for now. You know, the drug companies are fighting that tooth and nail. So, Robert, it just seems like whatever facet of healthcare we're talking about, there's always a way that it can be improved upon, and there always seem to be people that want to stand in the way of that. For Wisconsin, let's start with background about Badger Care and Medicaid. What is it to the average person who doesn't follow this? What is it that makes Wisconsin so unique, one of only 10 states left with a dubious distinction?
when it comes to expansion of Medicaid.
So let me, before I get into that, agree with you. The Inflation Reduction Act and what President Biden did in his first 2 years is important to focus on here. And you had to take on the big pharmaceutical lobby, the most powerful lobby, some people think, in Washington, in order to start the process of actually creating a fair price for average people. And you had to get as far as you could. President had a very slim majority, couldn't get anything that wouldn't go through two very conservative U.S. senators who were caucus with the Democrats. And so he got as much as he possibly could and understood the dynamic. It was the government, our democracy, stepping in and making prescription drugs more affordable. He also made permanent additional subsidies under the Affordable Care Act that make at open enrollment healthcare much more affordable. And one of the problems, his challenges, is not enough people are understanding as they go to open enrollment or as their seniors dealing with prescription drugs that the lower prices they're seeing or the greater subsidies on the marketplace are a result of the work of President Biden at Democratic Congress. And that's part of our task in 2024. But as you point out, we have a task at the state level. And so we, even though we're one of the great innovators in expanding our state Medicaid program, Badger Care, on a bipartisan basis, Tommy Thompson is the one who first greatly expanded it. They named it his Health Secretary Joe Lehan in the 1990s. And then Governor Doyle followed up and expanded it dramatically. And it's extremely popular. So what's been happening, though, since the legislature was hopelessly gerrymandered in 2011, so only one party could control it, is that we are now gone from a leader, a state that had the most Medicaid enrollment and the program that helped the most people, to one of the least, because President Obama, under the Affordable Care Act, set it up so it was a huge fiscal advantage, financial budget advantage for states to participate. So it was a win-win. You get more people covered in health care, and you save money. And Scott Walker did the irrational thing for political reasons and decided to pay a lot more, over $1.5 billion more a year on average, I mean, over each two-year state budget, in order to cover fewer people. And we are now one of 10 states that did not expand our state Medicaid program and is giving away money we pay to the federal government through our taxes every year for the privilege of covering fewer people, Pat.
And so it should be noted that year after year after year, states that we consider red states, Republican states, they look at the numbers, they look at the state of their constituents, and they have made the decision to accept the federal expansion of Medicaid, which is called Badger Care here in Wisconsin. But in Wisconsin, we're now one of the last holdouts. I always refer to it as a temper tantrum. There's still this temper tantrum that President Obama got the Affordable Care Act passed, and so many people are still paying more than they have to or have less stable coverage as a result, it seems, Robert.
Yeah, and I was at a summit in Atlanta earlier this year with the states. It was then the 11 states that have refused. It was kind of a sad situation. And, of course, we're now 10. North Carolina will not join us in 2024 if we reconvene that group. And so it's not what Wisconsin's used to. We've heard about the Mississippi-ication of Wisconsin. That's what this is, because Mississippi is one of the other 10. But you got states like Louisiana, Missouri, Arkansas, Wyoming. I mean, this is just not Montana, North Dakota. This is just not controversial, even among red Republican states. It is, so it's political, purely political, in the way people generally do not like it's unpopular. They've been able to ignore where the public is. Every single budget, they've had six opportunities now to expand Badger Care and have not. And if we get fair maps from the now much more balanced Supreme Court, then they will have to go back to voters and account for this.
And yet, what they're going to hear if they confront their Republican representative is, I mean, they used to not say the quiet part out loud. They used to say, oh, it's about the money. But, you know, maybe the federal government won't stick to its commitment, when, of course, it has. Instead, they just come right up and say, Medicaid? Oh, that's welfare. What do you tell people when they hear that?
Well, people need to take a step back. And we do a lot of deep canvassing, deeper conversation with people who might on surface react to that, right? And think, oh, okay. Think about, why are they saying that? What are they saying there? Why would they call it welfare when it's not welfare? Just for example, Pat, to give $1 billion to a billionaire owner of $500 million to a billionaire owner of a sports team, the Milwaukee Brewers, which the state just did last week. And it's to divide people, right? So that the folks who don't want it politically can continue to win by division. And so it's a dog whistle that says that people who don't have access to coverage, can't afford it, that it's their fault. When in fact we know, Pat, that even upper middle class people cannot afford healthcare on their own. It is so expensive in this country because it has been rigged for profit rather than set up so that average people can have what is a fundamental right, the right to access to healthcare.
It's again a case of much like the Medicare prescription drug relief, you know, it is all of our taxes, and we should have the ability to have that increased, you know, bulk buying power that comes along with health insurance coverage. Robert Craig is talking to us about that now from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and we will continue the conversation in just a bit. But first, meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology is here with us and gives us the details on the forecast heading into midweek. Jennifer, good morning.
See, right here is where you'd be listening to Weatherology's very own Jennifer Vucicki giving you an update on the weather. But that's an old weather update because this is a pre-recorded episode. So if you want to look out your window, it's probably cold. But I want to take this moment and tell you about the Civic Media app. The Civic Media app is so easy, so simple, so free. Go to wherever you like to download your apps for your smartphone, for your tablet, for any device you use. Get that Civic Media app on your phone, your tablet, your device, and start listening to Civic Media programs immediately. You can also listen to all of our shows as a podcast. Go to wherever you like to get your podcasts, download the episode you want, subscribe to the show you like, review us too, because that actually helps us quite a bit, and take Civic Media wherever you go throughout the world. Hope you're enjoying the show. Take care.
All right, we'll continue our conversation now with Robert Craig from Citizen Action. And Robert, just time for one more quick one before we take a pause here. And that is, we've talked about this from the standpoint of the consumer, the family, the customer, the patient, however you want to call it. There are plenty of small business people as well that think Wisconsin is overdue to essentially level the playing field. Isn't there a benefit to entrepreneurs to expanding BadgerCare?
Well, there is to what to an additional bill on top of BadgerCare expansion that we're advocating now, and had press conferences in Eau Claire Friday, La Crosse yesterday. I was in La Crosse with a lot of state legislators. It's called the BadgerCare Public Option Bill, and it would open BadgerCare even further, Pat. And by the way, the federal government pays for the bulk of the costly part of it, and Minnesota's already done this. So you can actually double BadgerCare eligibility. And you can open it up so individuals can buy it on the marketplace and get those affordable product subsidies. I'm talking about, and small business can buy in. I know we can talk about that after the break. Pat.
Let's do that, because, again, we'll talk about putting in a public option and the benefits that would bring to Wisconsin, to BadgerCare across our state. We're talking with Robert Craig from Citizen Action, and we'll continue that conversation right after this. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, I warned you. So call me maybe. Can't say you weren't warned. It's Carly Rae Jepsen's 38th birthday today. All right, let's continue our conversation with Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. We are talking about Wisconsin being one of the last remaining states where Republicans have not expanded Medicaid so that more families in Wisconsin can be covered, so that more small businesses see stability in their workforce. And we're going to get into the not just expanding Badger Care eligibility, but also then adding that public option. So, Robert, let's go back to square one and talk about what a public option would be in this instance. What would it look like? And then why is that a good idea?
So here are the elements. This is a bill originally authored and by Christina Shelton, a Democrat from Green Bay. There are other lead sponsors and a lot of co-sponsors. We're getting to the point where we might be able to get every Democrat as a co-sponsor. We're not quite there yet. And so it would build on Badger Care expansion. So you have you could have Badger Care expansion. Federal government pays 95% of it, and it saves us money. There's another little known part of the Affordable Care Act called the Basic Health Plan that allows you to create a public plan, an additional public plan on top of Badger Care, which doubles our current eligibility level. So for a family of three making less than $50,000 would be eligible for that public program. Then, since we have a great Badger Care program already, it's a comprehensive package. You don't have all the rate claim denials of private insurance, the high deductibles and co-pays, and then the denials. You could allow individuals who buy insurance on their own on the current Affordable Care Act marketplace to choose either corporate insurance or Badger Care, and they get the same subsidies to help afford it. And you could open it to small business. So you would dramatically increase the options everyone has for healthcare in Wisconsin and create a much lower cost option without all of the problems you have using corporate insurance now, because a lot of people are not seeking medical care who are insured right now. Over half of Wisconsinites, according to a scientific study we were part of earlier this year, even though they are insured. So having insurance no longer makes healthcare affordable for folks. And you pointed out small businesses, Pat. Only a third provide insurance coverage. They want to, they just can't afford it. There's really good research done every year on that. And we've done nothing on that. The legislature has been a do-nothing legislature since it was gerrymandered on healthcare costs. And they claim small business is a great constituency, but this harms small business. They lose their best employees. People don't start small businesses. Often businesses close that are very successful, that salon, that restaurant that you love, that's always packed. Why did it close? It might be because a small business owner or member of their family got a chronic health condition and they didn't have good health care. They couldn't afford to run the small business anymore. So it's a game changer for entrepreneurialism, which Republicans came to support, and for basic freedom for people to be able to have health care taken care of and to follow their dreams, to create that small business they've been dreaming about all their lives.
When we talk about Medicaid or Badger Care, for some folks, it raises the specter that this is some kind of government-run, one-size-fits-all option. Can you address those concerns versus the notion of expanding Medicaid and having a public option provides more choices for families and businesses?
Well, that's why it's called a public option. People can choose, and people don't have good choices right now. The survey I mentioned before, 52% of Wisconsinites have skipped needed medical care because they couldn't think, they thought they couldn't afford it. 95% of them had insurance. In other words, even when you have insurance, you're afraid of that $1,000 medical bill, especially since at least half of Americans can't afford a surprise $500 bill. And as you know, Pat, if you have any serious medical interaction, it's probably going to be a lot more than $500. And so this just creates another option. It's wildly popular. Who's against it is the big insurance companies that want to keep sticking people with their option and people not to have other choices. And quite frankly, the hospital monopolies and big pharma don't like it, because part of BadgerCare and part of Medicare is that the government sets a fair price, so that it's not the big financial interest deciding what should be charged for a particular service. It's based on what would be a fair price, what would it take to actually deliver that service, be it a mammogram, a colonoscopy, those are preventive procedure procedures, or anything more advanced like any kind of surgery or medical intervention.
And then let's end on a note going beyond just covering people, but you know, the workforce in general. We just finished a special session and fall session of the legislature where Governor Evers wanted to address workforce development in several areas, not just healthcare, but also childcare. As you look back at that session and look ahead to 2024, and especially in light of today's, you know, gerrymandering case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, what is your message about what the current majority legislators really stand for when it comes to workforce development in Wisconsin?
Well, their workforce development proposal, Pat, was it was a bait and switch, because it was the biggest, the bulk of it was a massive tax cut for the people already doing well in our state. And that is wildly unpopular and unnecessary and drains us of the revenue we need for public education, healthcare, childcare, the things we're not doing well, shared revenue and investment in our local governments. And so that's what they stand for. If you think about healthcare and workforce development, Pat, we now live in an era where people don't stay, can't stay. The economy's changed at the same job for 50 years that provide them good coverage. And so they're moving between jobs. They're looking for opportunities. They're working for small businesses. They're self-employed. Even people who have good coverage now, they don't necessarily think they'll stay at the job that has it, or their job will keep providing it for their whole careers. And so you need these kind of options, like both BadgerCare expansion and a BadgerCare public option, so people at those intervening periods have choices. People who choose to work for a small business, to be self-employed, to take time off to work, to help a sick relative or sick parent, right, to keep, allow them to live independently in their homes, that they have a place to take care of their own health care. And so there's a real burden right now with people literally turning down income, childcare workers, home care workers, others, so they can be under the poverty level and have access to health care because they have a chronic disease. In other words, at our artificially low eligibility rates for BadgerCare. That is unnecessary. It costs the states more money, and it depresses the Wisconsin economy, prevents us from having the quality workforce we need available to do the work people want to do and employers want to hire them for.
They do. And to learn more about this, look for Citizen Action on the web as well. Robert Craig from Citizen Action, thank you so much for telling us more about some of the newest push to expand and strengthen BadgerCare and, you know, do some real workforce development for the families of Wisconsin. Robert, I appreciate your time. Have a great day and a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks for the great conversation and for all you do to be a voice for up north Wisconsin, everywhere outside Milwaukee and Madison.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate that. Have a great day. Let's take a pause here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about the rural-urban divide, and is it really what so many talking heads make it out to be? We will talk to history professor Stephen Kahn about that, along with our friend Hans Breitenmoser. That's coming up on this Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio. Join me back up here at the lake in just a bit.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The UN Security Council votes again today on asking for a ceasefire in Gaza so more humanitarian aid can be delivered into the territory. Israeli bombardments since October 7th have left nearly 20,000 Palestinians dead and nearly 2 million without homes, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signing a new law that would give local police the power to arrest immigrants in the country illegally and give local judges the power to deport them.
The new law is expected to go right to the courts. At issue is, can states create their own immigration laws? Immigration is handled by the federal government. Opponents of the new Texas law say it is unconstitutional because it's preempted by federal law and that states can't just make their own laws competing with federal law.
ABC's Alex Stone. Two former Georgia election workers who won that $148 million defamation judgment against Rudy Giuliani have now asked for a court order barring him from continuing to repeat the lies he spread. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will begin offering abortion services in Sheboygan again before the end of the year. Planned Parenthood began offering abortions in Madison and Milwaukee in September, but we're waiting to beef up their staff in Sheboygan before starting there again. Sheboygan County DA Joel Ermansky says that he will respect a ruling from a Dane County judge earlier this month that said that the law that was interpreted as an abortion ban is actually a ban on non-consensual feticides. Governor Evers might consider sending the National Guard into understaffed state prisons. That's what some advocates and families of inmates would like him to do. The Department of Corrections says state prisons in Wisconsin are 29% short-staffed. Advocates say that's making conditions isolated, dangerous, dirty, and generally unhealthy behind bars. Evers' office has not said what he might do. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down here this afternoon. Our high today, 32. The wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25 through about midday and then backing off to 5 to 15 here later today. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 20. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
News Radio. And I'm joined now, as I am many Tuesdays, with our friend Hans Breitenmoser from up in the Merrill area, Lincoln County dairy farmer, somebody who's been active with Citizen Action. And Robert Craig had lots of nice things to say about you, Hans. Good morning. And you know, thank you as well for tuning us on to our guest coming up here, Professor Stephen Kahn. So how are you, Hans, up there?
Oh, I'm great. Robert is a hero of mine, and my ears were totally ringing if he was saying nice things about me. <That's> or it might be the tinnitus, which I need health care for.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. We definitely need that. But Hans has been a tremendous advocate for for rural life in Wisconsin, for the rural economy. But we turn to Professor Stephen Kahn from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. To talk a bit about, what rural America is, what it isn't, and what are the discussions we should be having about, the issues that affect people, whatever their zip code. Professor Kahn, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. This is great. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. Let's... Hans, I'm actually going to toss it to you first. You were the one that sent me this note saying that you were hearing Professor Kahn on another radio station and taking some great questions. What was it that perked your ears up?
Well, it's just always interesting, the conversation about, anything rural and having to do with the economy and how, why people vote the way they do and so forth. And I've said for years that it is often the case that our rural policymakers, and I use that term lightly because I feel like they're rural politicians more than policymakers at this point in our history, but there is a lot of finger pointing that happens. And so it's pretty easy for us here out in the hinterlands to scapegoat, folks in Milwaukee for things that are poorly managed in our area. And when it comes down to the elected officials that we elect up here and so forth. And I've always said, and I always tell my kids this, you've got war, you've got strife, you've got all sorts of things going on. But at the end of the day, most people, regardless of what their zip code is, regardless of where they live in the world, they want basically the same things. They want a dignified life. They want a nice place to live. They want enough food on the table, and they want safety for their children. And that's not unique to Madison, Milwaukee, or rural, Lincoln County. That's something that everybody wants. So rather than scapegoat, I would hope that our politicians start, listening to their constituents and solving some problems rather than pointing fingers, because that clearly does not work.
No, Professor Kahn, let's bring you in right there. What do you make of the premise from Hans and how that ties into things you've written, such as The Lies of the Land, seeing rural America for what it is and isn't?
What he said. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that shortens this segment by a lot. Okay.
You're the professor here, okay? You're supposed to have some really sage advice for it. I'm just some farmer, just trying to get the cow's milk, man.
I'll start by talking a little bit about why I wrote this book in the first place. I'm actually an urban historian. That's one of the specialties that I do. But I live in a very small town in a very rural place, and I teach in a slightly larger town also in a very rural place. And I go back and forth, and I'm looking out at these largely agricultural landscapes, and what I'm thinking about is that the way we talk about urban and rural, it just doesn't seem right. And it seems, maybe more to the point, counterproductive. We're not getting anywhere with the kind of conversation that we have been having, at least for a decade now, and probably longer than that. And so I thought I would try to look at these questions from a different angle. I think when we talk about, the urban-rural divide, when we talk about what's going on in rural places around the country, we tend to talk in terms of crisis. And when you do a deep dive, as I did, into the history of all of this, what you discover is that we've been using that language at least since the 1870s, which suggests that, if we're still talking about it that way, we talked about it that way in the 1870s, in the 1970s, and here in 2023, then maybe that's the wrong conversation to be having. So what I thought I would do is to look at how the big forces in American life over the last 100, 150 years have played out in rural places. Not in any particular place. I sort of dropped down in this book into a variety of places, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Appalachia, parts of Texas and whatnot. And what I've discovered is that rural America has been affected by exactly the same forces that have affected every other part of the country as well, sometimes for good, sometimes not for good. But I don't think, I think this divide is an artificial construct that maybe is convenient for us, but I'm not sure it gets us very far.
We were once a nation where it was something, I don't have the numbers in front of me now, where it was like maybe it was 2%, you know, urban, and now it's, you know, 2% farmers, something like that. But that shift in the population, you're saying, has or hasn't made a change in the shift of the actual issues, what you know, moms and dads go through in rural Wisconsin versus what moms and dads go through in the suburbs.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's stop for a moment with those numbers, because you're absolutely right. 1790, the first census get done. And it's about 3 or 4% of us are urban and the rest of us are rural. Nowadays, I think full-time farmers are about 1.5% in the last U.S. Census. I could have that off just a little bit. So why is that happening? Well, that's happening because, and Hans knows this better than I do, that for at least 150 years, agriculture in this country has been industrialized. And it has been at far more so and far faster than in any other Western country, for sure. And what that has meant is, well, two things, obviously. First is less and less labor is needed to do the same work, which drives an exodus of young people out of rural areas into larger urban areas looking for work. And it drives the consolidation and therefore the sheer size of farming operations altogether. So you remember the Homestead Act in 1862 gave people a plot of 160 acres. Nowadays, the average size of a farm in this country is at about 450 acres. But, you know, in places like Kansas, it's 800 acres. In Montana, it's close to 2,000 acres. So that sort of industrializing on the one hand, and industrializing just as fast as everything is going on in the cities as well, and then driving people away because you just don't need the same amount of labor.
Let's come off the farm for a second, because in rural areas, in smaller communities, you still have plenty of people who are not actively farming, but who choose to or need to live in these places. And I know that as a legislator who grew up in a city, but married, you know, a farm girl and represented a 50-50 district from, you know, both urban and rural, you wanted your rural schools to succeed just as much. You still need broadband internet brought out to the rural parts of your district. And it seemed to me so often that the butting of heads, you know, that gets so much writing up, seem to be either a matter of political convenience, or at its worst, at times, more of a victimhood, you know, mentality, because there's only a few of us versus a million people in a city. Yeah. So when you look at all of that, how do you think that lawmakers and policymakers should be thinking differently when they try to help out the economies of small communities as well as large ones?
Yeah, that's a great point. If I had one prescription to make, wave a magic wand, I would wish that a lot of rural people would get right with the federal government. Let me pick up your broadband internet example for just a moment. In 1932, fewer than 10% of rural households had electricity. By 1960, 95% of rural households had electricity. And that was because of the New Deal's rural electrification program, right? Transformed life in rural spaces. Wasn't going to happen with the private sector. Power companies were not going to do this. It required a federal program. Well, fast forward, we're talking about access to internet. Private companies are not going to do this. Where is our rural internet program like we had during the New Deal? but many of these rural legislatures are so hostile to the federal government that we're not even that legislation isn't even on the table.
Hans, I wanted to ask if you wanted to jump in with a question or a comment.
Well, more of a comment. I think your last statement, Stephen, runs right alongside what Pat and his earlier guest were talking about with regard to healthcare, right? I mean, it's that same mentality. It's that same attitude. So it comes down to politics rather than policy. It comes down to our side versus their side and just sort of glosses over the fact that there are good things that could be done if these politicians would stop, you know, sort of towing this party line nonsense and actually, you know, do something productive where it's obvious where they can be doing things.
Yeah. Let me piggyback on that to say, starting in the 1980s, lots and lots of rural voters, and this is across the country in rural districts, became more and more hostile to the federal government. And this was part of the, you know, the sort of the Reagan transformation in our relationship with the federal government. But the ugly secret is, the dirty little secret is, the federal government's programs have been remarkably successful in all kinds of ways. And rural electrification is just one of them. We could also talk about water projects as well, especially out west, where irrigation, you know, happens only because of the federal government. So I think, you know, as I said, what I wish would happen would be that those rural voters who continue to hold the federal government in such contempt would take a step back and look at the way the federal government may be the only force in American life that could step in and deal with things like healthcare, when, you know, you've got all these rural hospitals and clinics that are closing now because they're not profitable, internet, all kinds of things. That's, I think, the kind of the logjam we're in right now.
Well, you know, where I think we need to go is actually it comes back to my very first conversation on the radio with Hans, and it was about all of this heat gets generated toward government and red tape when it actually is about corporate power, monopoly power, the influences that they have in Washington. And that's maybe a more productive, maybe not productive, but a more accurate place to direct ire from those in rural areas.
I'm sorry, did somebody just say Farm Bill?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I had a conversation last week with a think tank operation in Washington paying. One of the things they work on is ag policy, and the Farm Bill is coming up for reauthorization. And that just has become a vast goodie bag of giveaways to large corporations of various kinds, you know. And if we reoriented that, and what it means is that independent producers, local producers, get more and more squeezed out of the system. I do think that there is a role for the federal government in agricultural policy. I think the Farm Bill is a way to shape our food systems and the things that we do put on our tables at dinner. But what we've got, and really for the last 50 years, I mean, if we really want to go back to this is Richard Nixon's agricultural secretary, Earl Butz, whose mantra was "get big or get out," has created this system. So the federal government is only as good as the purposes to which we put it. If we want to create a big corporate industrialized ag system, well, by God, we succeeded in doing that. If that's not what we want, then we need to use the tools that we have to do something different.
Yeah, and
I think we should, like you said, there are things that the federal government can do and should do. And, you know, enforcing antitrust legislation would be a great place to start, because I heard, you know, you're absolutely right. I think there is a lot of contempt in rural areas for the federal government, when in fact that contempt should be placed squarely on those larger and larger companies that have more to say about our price.
The ones that have plenty left over for an army of lobbyists. Steve Kahn is the professor of history at Miami University of Oxford, Ohio, and he also has The Lies of the Land, Seeing Rural America for What It Is and Isn't. Professor Kahn, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
All right. All right. Back with Chad Holmes after this. You're up north.
This
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
WebQS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, we're back at just about 7:51, and Chad Holmes should be joining us in just a sec. But first, I wanted to mention again Stephen Kahn's book, Lies of the Land, Seeing Rural America for What It Is and Isn't. And that is through the University of Chicago Press. And you can go to press.uchicago.edu. Rather than those big, massive corporate booksellers, go to the University of Chicago Press to learn more about Steve Kahn's writing, which I thought was, it was great to have it be, I don't know if contrarian is the right word, but more of a reality check, to say, look, let's not just immediately assume, the worst in our rural and urban divide. Chad Holmes, I think, is going to be joining us soon through the new studio in Wausau. Let's see, Chad, are you you got connected here?
Can you hear me? Oh,
no. Yeah, but you've got some
Chad in space.
Yeah, we've got a feedback loop somehow, as if you have headphones on.
Chad, turn the volume down on your computer. Like, turn that off.
And then I think we'll hear you just fine.
While we're waiting for that, just to let you know, Pat, we got a text from Sage himself.
Okay, can
you hear me?
Yeah, but you're all echo.
You're all echo, buddy.
So I'll let you struggle with that for a little bit here. And Sage Weil, who runs up Civic Media here, is familiar with the book?
He said that y'all had a great conversation. Just sent a text in.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Like I said, when Hans told me about this, I just thought, yeah, we have to have him on, because it was a point that I tried to make quite frequently, that as somebody, again, who at the time, my state senate district was the northern half of Eau Claire, and then it stretched all the way down the Highway 29 corridor just about to Wausau, so a lot of farm country in there as well, and it just didn't make sense at all to me that we were going to look at the cities and, Milwaukee, Madison in particular, as some kind of enemy, because their kids need to learn. Our kids need to learn, inflation affects them. Inflation affects us. And it just seems to me that I'm not going to say it's every time, but quite often, when people say, well, rural America is shaking their fist at us, it's like, yeah, somebody made you a victim, And that's just wrong.
Yeah, I think it's much better to look at ourselves as Wisconsinites rather than I'm from the city or I'm from the farmland. It's like, we're all here together. We all can work together. We all need help together. We all need to just do this together. I was having a conversation with some friends. I've lived in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha. So I don't have a city per se. This is my state, and they're all important to me.
Yeah, exactly. Let's give Chad another try here up in the Bull Falls Radio Studio in Wausau. Are you in with us yet there, bud?
I am trying.
No, he's still all echo.
Chad, if you can click on the volume button on your computer, that should knock out the problem. Mm-hmm. Also, if you turn on your video, might be able to
Yeah, we see it.
And well, I have my video on it. It's not showing up.
Sorry, Chad. I don't mean to laugh.
No, I blame Luke. Luke was up there last week, you know, working on the studio and was trying to get everything all good to go. And, you know, clearly I think he did this.
I think Luke Mathers is an excellent executive producer, a handsome man.
Luke Mathers is still your boss, isn't he? That's right.
Incapable of wrong. He's like the Pope, infallible. And I don't like you or any other flat earther in this country talking poorly of Luke Mathers.
Cannot wait to play that back on the next time Mathers is on the radio with us. Chad, anything better yet?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Oh, shucky darn. Fine. Chad, we'll cut you loose. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving and we'll chat again real soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you later.
That was Chad in space.
This group, Civic Media,
yeah,
this radio network, is growing so nicely and so quickly. I think beyond a lot of people's expectations, and occasionally you're still building the plane while you're flying it, mm-hmm. and so every so often you notice something and you try to catch it before it goes out on air. But again, I would much rather have this issue than being in where he was before. It was a building that I believe was built during the Byzantine Empire, that radio station up in Wausau. I have worked in some old radio buildings.
How old were they?
There was one. I didn't work in this one, but I had a friend who worked in one that actually, it was located in a swamp, because that's you kind of got the best signal from the tower when it was in this low area beaming out or whatever, that they had something called the destroylet, a toilet that couldn't empty into the swamp. And so you had to hit this button every so often and incinerate the contents of the destroylet. But I, for the station that I had worked at, or a couple of stations, there was nobody cleaning out the bathrooms. And so if the bathrooms got bad, you know, you had to clean it out yourself. And so I'd much rather have the issues of growing a nice new radio network.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and have you seen the Madison studio? It's so gorgeous. It's so comfy and cozy. And
well, and even the small ones that are going up. There is one in Chippewa Falls. It's going to get wired in eventually, and it's in a nice old restored building in downtown Chippewa Falls. You're in downtown Waukesha, right?
I'm in a dentist's office, I think.
That's, you know, but it's got a nice, you know, street side view from there.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to the one in Oshkosh and in Green Bay. And again, one's in a beautifully restored old building. One is in a newer building on the riverfront. So, you know, this thing is coming together very nicely.
Yeah.
The occasional echo notwithstanding.
I would just like to point out, yes, Chad Holmes' technical difficulties notwithstanding, and this is to Sage or Catherine or Luke, this whole show has been going smooth sailing with old Greggy Bach here behind the boards. And everyone heard the good stuff.
You're just trying to impress your mom because it's her birthday.
My mom's impressed when I get out of bed and put on my pants without hurting myself. So
I'm glad she has the bar appropriately set for you. Mom, happy birthday again.
Happy birthday, Greg, Mom. I love you very much.
We'll do this once more before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, and you can hear Greg again on As Goes Wisconsin. Right? I mean, you skipped last week when Kristen was on, but you're good now for
I'm good. All the holiday cutting and promos and all this stuff is done.
Perfect.
Ready to celebrate.
All right. Sounds good. We'll hear more from Greg coming up on As Goes Wisconsin. Earl Ingram is coming up next on many of these Civic Media radio stations, except for Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids. They're all followed by Todd Alba, As Goes Wisconsin, and then Todd Alba, Matt Flynn, and Devil's Advocates at 4:00. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you back here on the lake tomorrow.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.